Okay, in the past few weeks, we have been learning about the stories of Avraham, the Parshiot of Avraham, the end of Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayera, and now this coming week in Mitzvah Shem Chai Sara. And the question that I'd really like to deal with today is an age-old question, a question that has been dealt with many times before. And I'd like to give perhaps a different perspective and a different insight on this very same question. And that is, what was so special about Avraham? Clearly, he was not the first monotheist. We know that there was Noah, and that there was Shem, and there were Chanoch, and even Adam, all believed in one God. So what was special about him? So Chazal tell us that he initiated the idea of Adnus, of Adon, of master, owner of the universe. But once again, what does this mean? And why is this such a chiddush? I'd also like to explain to you certain midrashim, an enigmatic train of thought that we see in Chazal, beginning with the very first source on your source sheets. Torah tells us, Eile toldara shamayim v'ha'aretz b'hi baram b'yom asot Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. This is the generations of the heavens and earth when they were created, in the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the earth and the heaven. The Baal HaTurim explains that what does that word b'hi baram mean? So he explains that the word really must be unscrambled, and that the word really should be read Avraham, as you see the same letters, Beit, Hey, Resh, Aleph, Mem, Sofit, Mem, Avraham. That the world was created, says the Baal HaTurim, in the Zchut, in the merit of Avraham. What does that mean? What kind of hyperbolic statement is this? The world was created in the Zchut of Avraham? What does that mean? It's additionally inscrutable when we consider that Chazal have said that the world was in a state of tohu for the first 2,000 years, in a state of desolation, until the advent of Avraham Avinu. What does that mean? Tohu? We know from the Torah that the earth was in a state of tohu, va'aretz hayta tohu va'vohu, on that very first day of creation. And after that, as Ramban explains, the bohu and the tohu, the atoms, the molecules, and the shapes were put together, and there was no longer a state of tohu. The world was organized. The world was functioning. So what does that mean, that the world was in a state of tohu? What are these turgid hyperbolic statements meant to explain to us? What insights are they meant to give to us? Are we meant to explain them and understand them literally? I believe that the answer to this question, as well as the key to understanding Avraham Avinu, is to be found in the pasuk from this coming week's parsha, Parshas Chayisah. The Torah tells us in source 3, Va'Avraham zaken ba biyamim, Hashem beirach et Avraham bakol. Avraham was older, and Hashem had blessed him bakol with everything. What does everything mean? What is this everything? So we see that Rashi tells us that bakol, bigamatria, the numerical value of the word bakol, is 52. And so too, 52 is the numerical value of ben. And those of you that were ever doing shidduchim with your daughters know that every family that has a son thinks that her son is everything. So, of course, also the best boy in the Beis Medrash. So bakol and ben, son. And that makes sense contextually, being that Avraham is now about to embark on finding a shidduch for his son Avraham. So an appropriate introduction would be Hashem Beirachat Avraham Bakol, being that Hashem blessed Avraham with a son, he is now going to have to look for a mate for him. The Eben Ezra, incidentally, tells us that Bakol was the name of Avraham's daughter, that he actually had a daughter by the name of Bakol. But the Ramban tells us something very strange, very, very difficult to understand. And I brought it for you in English, only to try to make it a little bit easier to understand, but even that is difficult. Source 5. Thus they said that the word bakol hints at a great matter, namely that the Holy One, blessed be He, has an attribute called Kol. So called because it is the foundation of everything. It is with reference to this attribute that it says, I am the eternal that maketh Kol. Kol is an attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a cognoname of God. When the Torah is telling us that Hashem blessed Avram Bakol, it is telling us that Hashem gave Avram the power, the insight, the knowledge that all of the universe, all of this physical, material, mundane world has one source, HaKadosh Baruch. And the challenge of Avraham will be to connect all of the physical world, all of the material world, to that source, to HaKadosh Baruch. That is the bracha that Hashem gave Avraham by blessing him with Bakol. This understanding, this challenge. And the question is how? How is Avraham to accomplish that? Connecting all the universe, all of creation, to its source, to He who is the creator and sustainer of all. And the answer is found in the very first pasuk that Hashem utters to Avraham. When He says to him, in source 6, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Lech lecha, na'artzecha, umimoladetcha, umibet avicha. Lech lecha. Go for yourself. Says Rashi, lehana'atcha uletovatcha. For your pleasure and for your good. Avraham was being challenged. He was being challenged to do what heretofore nobody else had accomplished. He was challenged to utilize this world with pleasure, with enjoyment, to utilize it the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be utilized, and through its enjoyable utilization, connect it to God. Through its enjoyable utilization, spread the name of God. Elevate the mundane. Because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. Living the life that God wants us to live, that God has asked us to live, with our enjoyment, that is the key to infusing it with Kedusha, to infusing it with spirituality, thus elevating it and connecting it to its source. Avraham was challenged to do what Adam and Chava could not do. What happened with Adam and Chava? Hashem tells them, Mikol etz haga nachol tochal. Everything is out for you. Everything is ready for you. Everything is set for you. Achol tochal. Enjoy it. Live in it. V'chai bahem. But what does the Torah tell us? Vatera ha'isha ki tov ha'etz l'machal. V'kitava hu leinayim. V'nechman ha'etz l'haskil. Chava could only find enjoyment and pleasure in that which was usher, that which was forbidden to her. She could not find pleasure and enjoyment and benefit in that which was allowed, in that which was mandated by her to enjoy. And so too Cain. Cain didn't see this world as a universe to connect to God. Quite the contrary. He saw this universe as that which he wanted to separate from God, propitiate God by throwing him a bone, throwing him some fruits. Get him out of the way. It's my land. And Hevel was the opposite extreme. The Hevel Hevi Gamhu, the complete negation of self, the negation of pleasure, the negation of enjoyment and utilization of this world. Hevel, nothingness. And even Noah, after the Mabul, the Torah tells us, Vayitza Kerem, he plants a vineyard. And he imbibes from this vineyard, he gets drunk, followed by that. We know the horrific incident that happened between Ham and him. What did Noah do wrong? The opportunity to use wine as that which is Mekadesh this world. We're nehenge from wine. There's simcha in wine. We make kiddush on wine. Because wine is the very, very conduit through which we connect to God through pleasure and bring kedusha into this world. And yet Noah used it in a wrong manner. What about shame? What about shame? Always wonder, who was shame? Shame, Shiva shame to ever. What did Avraham do so great? If there was already yeshiva. And why isn't shame attributed with all the wonderful, wonderful, you know, exhalation that we see given to Avraham? What happened to the praise of shame? It's a very, very interesting machloket that takes place regarding shame. When shame appears, we see him as Malki Tzedek. And we see him confronting Avraham after the war between the four and the five kings. And the Torah tells you that Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem comes out and he brings wine and he brings bread to the tired, fatigued Avraham who had just finished fighting the war. And the Torah tells us, V'hu Kohen Lekel Elyon. He was the priest to the God above. If you look on the sheets in front of you, you'll see that the Kli Yakar in Source 10 asks a very interesting question. He says, Baruch Avram lekel elyon koneh shamayim va'aretz. Limama ne'mar v'hu kohen lekel elyon. We see the Torah seems to be bringing two different descriptions of shame. On one hand, the Torah had told us that he's a Kohen Lekel Elyon, that he's a priest to the God above. But then the Torah tells us, as you see in the Pesukim right in front of you, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Koneh Shemayim Va'aretz, that he's talking all about a God that had bought, that had created the Shemayim, the heavens and the earth. So which one is it? Is it that he is a Kohen of the God of heaven? Or does he recognize, does he acknowledge that God is the God of the heavens and the earth? So says the Kli Yakar, Lefi shekodem sheba Avram hayanikra HaKadosh Baruch Hu kel elyon. Kilo haita malchuto yitbarach nikar batachtoni. Says the Kli Yakar in his first parish, shame knew God. There were monotheists before Avram. But they only understood God as being the God of the Shamayim, the God of the heavens. There was God of the heavens. He indeed might have created the entire world, but he is no longer involved in the world. He's no longer Mashiach in the world. There was a division, the heavens and then the earth. It wasn't until Avraham who preached that God is in this world, that the very Hashem, that's the Kel Elyon, is the Kone Shamayim Va'aretz, that he is the sustainer of both the heavens and the earth, that he is Mashiach and everything that goes on here as well. That was the Chiddush of Avraham. And how did he accomplish this? Says the Kli Yakar in his first answer, by promulgating the name of God, by promoting the name of God, by Yikra B'Shem Hashem. That's how he did it. In the third answer of the Kli Yakar, though, he brings yet another understanding. And I'm sorry I don't have a photocopy for you. He says, you know how Avraham was able to teach that Hashem was in this earth? He was able to get that message across because he united heaven and earth. He united heaven and earth. He was able to elevate the temporal, the mundane, the material by infusing it with Kedusha, by infusing it with the knowledge that God created and God is watching over it and God is sustaining it and everything in this world must be connected back to God. He is a Kone Shamayim Vahar. So there's a fantastic machloket that takes place. And the machloket is as follows. In that very same encounter between Malki Tzedek and Avraham, the very next pasuk, we're going to see that Melech Sdom comes to Avraham And he says to Avram, what? Tell me ha-nefesh v'ha-rechush kachla. Give me the souls. After all, Melech Sdom, in order to be a king, you need constituents. I need the people. But you can keep the booty, the loot that you had won by defeating the kings. Avram says, Michut va'ad sroch na'al, lo ekach. From a string to a shoelace, I will take nothing from you or from this loot, lest you think for one second or say that you made me wealthy. The Gemara in Sota, Yud Zayin says, Darash Rabba, Bizchar she'amar Avram Avinu in Michut va'ad sroch na'al, Zachu banav lebet mitzvot. Chut shel tchelet, v'ritzua shel tfilin. This statement by Abraham, Michut va'ad sroch na'al, from a shoelace to a string, was such a great act on the part of Abraham that Hashem rewards him. And you know how Hashem rewards him? By giving his descendants a string of tchelet, tzitzis. We have tzitzis today, or we don't wear tzitzis that we have today because of that act of Avraham, michut v'ad zrochna, in addition to tefillin. Beautiful. We have a problem. The problem is that in that incident that I alluded to earlier, where Ham either castrates or sodomizes Noah while Noah is in a drunken stupor. The Torah tells us that when Shem and Yafet, the two brothers of Ham, learned what happened, they took the simla, they took the sheet, and they walked backwards to cover their father's nakedness. And says Rashi that because of this act of shame, his descendants will then tzitzit. Well, which one is it? Do we have tzitzit today because of the act of Avram? The Gemara avers that we have gotten tzitzit because of the statement, Michut v'ad sroch na'al. Or do we have tzitzit because of that noble act of shame? Who covered his father? The Mizrahi, as well as many others, attempt to answer this contradiction, this machloket. And on the sheet in front of you in source 12, the second column, three lines into it, says the Mizrahi, Yesh lomar, detalit shel tzitzis lechud, v'tchelet lechud. He says, wait a minute, there's no stira, there's no contradiction. We have two separate things going on in our tzitzis. We have white strings, and we have a blue string. The white strings we now have because of the merit of that great act of shame. And the blue string, the tzitzit shel tchelet. That's what the Gemara says we have due to the noble act of Avraham by saying Yichud v'ad sroch na'al. What does that mean? What does that mean? The Gemara continues. And again, all the Mefarshim quote this Gemara in explaining, Manishtana tchelet mikol minei tzivonim. What is blue? How is blue different than white? Why do we need one blue string? What does it add that the white strings don't? Mipnei shahatchelet dome layam, v'yam dome l'rakia, v'rakia dome l'kisei hakavod. Says the Gemara, because we're going to see that blue string, u'ri'item oto, u'zachartem. And you're going to be reminded. How will that work? How will that memory be triggered? You're going to see the yam, the ocean, which is a similar color to that blue-green of tchelet, and you're going to travel as far as your eyes can see, and that's going to take you to the horizon, to the sky. So from the blue, you're going to go to the sea, and from the sea, you're going to go to the sky, and from the sky, it's going to remind you of Kisei HaKavod. The difference between Shem and Avraham is so clear from this Mizrahi in Gemara. Shem was all about a sublime, pure, lily-white understanding of God as a Kel Elyon, as a God above. They lived in the clouds. They were completely spiritual, ethereal, inscrutable people. But Avraham was all about Tchelet. He was all about living in this world, needing the reminder because you're living in this world, needing physical things to remind you of the spiritual, and using the material, using the physical world to remind you of the spiritual. That's what Abraham was all about. That's the Chiddush of Abraham. And that Shem did not have. The yeshiva Shem Be'ever was a place where it was a Dalit Amos, some monastery, where there was complete and total concentrated spirituality. But that was not Abraham. And that's not what Abraham's children are all about. Because our descendants and Abraham's descendants are about v'chai lahem. They're about not abjuring wealth and not abdicating or renouncing marriage. They're about living in this world, but utilizing it correctly, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be utilized, and by therefore elevating it to a state of Kedusha. What did Abraham do? The Torah tells us, Vayita Eshel, and Rashi and other Mefarshim explain, what does Eshel stand for? Achila, Shtia, and Lina, or Achila, Shtia, and Levaya. Through eating and through drinking, he promulgated the name of Hashem. If you look at source 7 on the second page, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Haya mekabel et ha'ovrim ve'et ha'shavim, mishahayu ochlim v'shotim haya omer lahem. He would welcome all those passerbyers, the wayfarers, and when they passed by, he would say, eat, drink, baruchu, but make a blessing. Hem amin lo man omar. They would say to him, what should we say? V'hu amir lahem, amru baruch kel elyon sha'achalnu mishalo. Baruch kel olam, excuse me, sha'achalnu mishalo. Blessed is the God of the world, because we have eaten, we have partaken from his world. That was Abraham. That was what Abraham was all about. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani lo hayiti shmi nikar lebriyot. Nobody knew about me. My name was not in this world. You couldn't feel me in the physical world. Ma le'ani alecha kilu ata shutaf imi bibriyato shel olam. You are my partner in the creator of the world because you brought me into this world. And that's why it says, kone shamayim va'aretz. When we say that the world was in a state of tohu for the first 2,000 years, indeed this world was vacuous. Indeed it was in a state of tohu, filled with molecules and atoms and physicality, but completely devoid of spirituality. And that's why it was in a state of tohu. That's what Chazal perhaps mean by telling us that it was in a state of tohu for the first 2,000 years. Bihibaram, that the world was created for Avraham, of course it was created for Avraham. And Rashi tells us that hay, that's patuah, it's open on the bottom, that's what that letter, Bihibaram, Behibaram, that Hashem wanted this world created with a hay, because the open hay allows for movement between the upper world and the lower world, between heavens and between earth. And perhaps that is why it is that very hay that is added to the name of Avram to make it Avraham, and that is added to the name of Sarai to make it Sarah. But what about Avraham's children? Did they buy into this worldview of Avraham? Did they buy into this Lech Lecha? We see something very interesting taking place. Avram, as we know, has two sons. His first son, Yishmael. Yishmael had every opportunity to buy into this cult. In fact, Yishmael had a bris milah before Yitzchak or anybody else. He had it along with Avraham. Yishmael will have the opportunity to drink from the metaphysical be'er in the desert when he runs away with Hagar. That metaphysical be'er is the be'er that Chazal tell us Bnei Yisrael drank from hundreds of years later in the Midbar. That's a metaphysical marker of a connection, showing you in the most graphic way that water is from God, is in itself miraculous. And yet, despite all of these opportunities, what does the Torah tell us? The hu yiyeh hera adam, yado bakol v'yad kol bo, in source 8. Hera Adam means a wild man. But Moshe Shapiro has an unbelievable insight into this word. He says that whenever we have the juxtaposition of two letters, pei and resh, it almost always connotes separation, division. If you look at the word parad, to separate, paraz, to scatter, parach, also to blow over, blow away, parat, to detail, para, to uncover, parak, to disembark. All of the words, all of the verbs with pei, rein, go on and on. Pei, rash. They all have that meaning of separation, of divisiveness, of dividing, of disenfranchising. Hu yihyeh tera Adam. Yishmael's goal was to divide Adam. Tera Adam. Adam, we know, was an amalgam of the spiritual and the physical. The Adama, the earth, and the Adameh, the spirituality, the Nefesh. What did Yishmael want to do? He wanted to revert back to that world of divisiveness. The world where there was a spiritual world, and that was good for the angels in the heavens and those few monks in the monastery in Yeshiva of Shem Be'ever. But the world was in a separate place. The world was meant to enjoy as you wanted to enjoy it. Devoid of God or any details of what God would want, any mandates. Yado Bakol. His hand was against Kol. He didn't want that concept of Kol. And Yado Bakol, Rashi tells us, is Gezel, is stealing. Because if you don't recognize that God is in this world, then in fact the world is mine to do what I want to do. And that led to the Hamas, and that's what brought the Dor HaMidbar down. Because the world is mine, there is no God in this world. I'll take what I want. And that's the Yado Bakol. His hand was against Kol. It was in Kol. It sought to destroy Kol. And by so doing, he became a thief. And what about Yitzhak? Did Yitzhak buy into Kol? Indeed he did. We look at Yitzhak as the most ethereal, and indeed he was. He wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, go into Eretz Canaan, Eretz Mitzrayim during the famine. And yet, as spiritual and as great as Yitzhak was also as great as he was in this world. The Torah describes Yitzhak in ways that even the other avot are not described in terms of monetary wealth. If you look at source 11, Vayizra Yitzhak ba'aretz ahi vayimtza v'shana ahi me'asha arim vayirvachehu Hashem. He planted, in addition to being a shepherd, as all of our forefathers were, he was a farmer. He planted me'asha arim, which he divided into 100 different sections in order to take master, which we'll get to in a second. But then the Torah says, "Vayigdal ha'ish, vayelech haloch v'gadel ad ki gadel ma'od." He became massive. He was extremely wealthy. Yitzhak was a man of this world, every bit as much as he was a man that was in the spiritual world. And how did he infuse the physical, the material, with spirituality? Through the giving of Maaser. By taking your field and taking off 10%, taking your paycheck and taking off 10%, that Maaser is telling you and reminding you that that money belongs to God. That what you have gotten in this world must be somehow related to God, as God is the source of everything in this world. And through that giving of Maaser, you are making that statement. You have sanctified the remaining 90% through the giving of that 10%. And that's why Abraham did the same thing with shame with Matzah Tzedek. And that's his point. When it says, Vayitan lo Maaser mikol, when Abraham gave Maaser to Matzah Tzedek, and Rashi makes a point of saying, it was Abraham that gave the Maaser to Matzah Tzedek to shame. Why did Abraham have to be the one to give shame to Miser? Because that was the message of Abraham, which was not the message of shame. And we see Yitzhak doing the same thing right here with Leah Sha'ar. Because that's the understanding that God is the source of everything in this world, and that everything in this world must be reconnected to its source in Bakol. You turn the page, please. Yitzhak had two sons, Yaakov and Esau. And the Torah describes the different inclinations and propensities of these two children. It tells us by the Esav, verse in source 13, Ish yodea tzayid, ish tzadeh, v'yakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. It's very clear. The proclivity of Esav was to be a man of the fields, a hunter. He was adroit and adept at hunting, killing. And Yaakov was an ishtam, yoshev ohalim. However you want to explain it, whichever the different mafarshim you take, he was a person that liked to sit at home. Sit in the yeshiva, sit and learn, devote himself to spirituality. And what became clear, based on the inclinations of these two children, was that we were going to be seeing a division of kol. A reverting back to the days of shame, where Yaakov would be the shame. He would be the guy in the yeshiva, off somewhere in India, or in Eretz Yisrael, better yet, learning, davening, pure. And Esav would be the man of the world, taking care of business. In fact, there's a medrash, Yalkut Shimoni, that says the following. Amru, kishahayu Yaakov ve'esav, b'me'ei imon. I'm sorry again, I don't have this photocopied for you. Amru lo Yaakov le'esav. When Yaakov and Esav were still intrauterine, they were in the womb of Rivka. They made a deal. Amru lo Yaakov le'esav. Yaakov said to Esav, Achi, Shnei olamot lefanenu. We have two worlds. Ha'olam hazeh v'ha'olam haba. Ha'olam hazeh yesh bo achila v'shtia umasa umatan lisa isha ulaholi banim uvanot. This world has in it eating, drinking, merriment, marriage, children, raising children, business. Aval ha'olam haba en bo kol hamidot halalu. The next world doesn't have any of these mundane sort of activities. Ritzoncha, if you will, if you would like to, tol ata ha'olam hazeh, va'ani etol ha'olam haba. Says Yaakov to Esav, if it's all right with you, I will take the next world. I'll take the spiritual world, and you take this physical world. Shne'emra mihra kayom et bechoratcha li, as we will see unfolding in a few minutes, when they actually do make this sale, it's mihra kayom, sell it officially now, as we had kayom, like the day, as we had on that day. Ke'oto hayom shehayu bebeten imam. Same day that they were interviewed. And this deal seems to have been okay with Yitzhak. Yitzhak, who understood his sons, Yitzhak, who loved and valued his sons, seemed to have been okay. Because in fact, we see that Yitzhak was intending to give the bracha of the physical world, Yitelecha Elokim, Yitelecha Mayim, Yishmane Ha'aretz, V'rov Dagan V'Tirosh, material wealth, yavducha mini shachavu l'chalumim, power, all of the wonderful things in this physical world, Yitzhak had intended to give to Esav. And what bracha had Yitzchak intended to give to Yaakov? The bracha that he does give Yaakov at the end when he tells him what? Kel Shakai will give you the bracha of Abraham. He'll give you Zarecha, give you multiple children. And he'll give you Eretz Yisrael. He'll give you the bracha of Abraham. So obviously Yitzchak was prepared to make this deal. He was prepared to go ahead and use this kind of understanding, this division of Bakol, revert back to the days pre-Abraham. But something interesting happens that day. We all know the story if you read inside, Pasuk Lamed, source 13. Vayomer Esav el Yaakov, Halitenina min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh ki ayef anochi. Aken krashmo Edom. And Esav says to Yaakov, Halitinina, pour down my throat this red, red soup, because I'm tired. Why was he tired? So the Da Tzakeni Mibalei HaTosfos tells us something unbelievable. If you look at the Da Tzakeni, please, on the left side of your sheet, under the words, the Dibur HaMatva Ki Ayef Anochi, She'oto Hayom, Harag Nimrod. That very same day, which we all know from Rashi, was the day that Avraham had died, and therefore Yaakov was making this lentil soup. Says the Da Tzakeni Balei HaTosfos, one minute. There was something else going on that day, Oto Hayom. That day was the day that Nimrod died. And how did he die? Listen to this story. Shenilcham imo, Esav fought with Nimrod, ki kasher hitchil Esav las tzud basadeh, matzo Nimrod, shehaya gibor tzayit, va'amar lo, she'en shum adam rashai latzud besadot, ela hu, said Nimrod to Esav, basically, get out of my field. They're mine. I am the master of the physical world. I own the sadot. I own the fields. I own that which is in this world. You have no right to go hunting in those fields. V'lakho yom milchama. So what happened? Esau was not exactly the kind of guy that was going to back down. They decided on a day where they will have a duel. They were going to fight it out. Esav and Nimrod. But Esav comes back home. V'natal Esav liYaakov. And he asks his brother Jake, right? Give me some advice. What do I do? How am I going to fight off this guy Nimrod? Nimrod. Gibor, he's the strongest man in the world, Nimrod. He was the one that threw Avram into the Kivshan Esh. Nimrod, I'm Raphael, I'm Arpo. Nimrod was master of the universe in the physical world. He was the most feared dictator. So he asked, yes, Yaakov, what do I do? Amar lo, said Yaakov to Esav, Kozman sheyihye Nimrod, lavush bigdav hachamudot lo tuchalo. Said Yaakov to Esav, as long as Nimrod is wearing his bigdei hamudot, those vestments that had been fashioned by God for Adam, after Adam chose the physical world, chose a world of taiva, and the Chazal, the Medrash tells us, were passed down from Adam to Cain, and from Cain to Ham, and from Ham to his son Nimrod, the bigdei hamudot, those coveted clothing, or those clothing that were worn once chemda, once taiva was introduced into the world. As long as Nimrod is wearing those vestments, you will not be able to defeat him. Tomar lo sheyafshitem, says Yaakov, somehow figure out a way to get Nimrod to divest himself of those garments, of those bigdei hamudot. Da'az tuchalo. And then you will be able to beat him, to defeat him. V'chen asah, Esav did exactly what Yaakov had told him to do, v'harag Nimrod. And Esav ends up killing Nimrod. V'lachen amar ki ayef anochi, Therefore, he was tired. It's not easy to kill when you don't have a bullet. Therefore, he was tired. So here we have it. This day that is somehow unfolding, this dramatic event in Jewish history. Nimrod is killed. Dead space. Dead position. There's an empty role here. Someone to fill, someone to walk into the footsteps of Nimrod. And the likely candidate is Esav, who killed him, waiting right there to walk into his shoes. But there's another position that became available on that day. Oto Yom was the day that Rashi tells us Avraham had died. And the question now is Yaakov going to become Avraham? Or is he going to become Shem? Is he going to live this life of total spirituality, of Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim? Or is he going to somehow inherit that world of Avraham, the Avrahamic philosophy, so to speak? When Esav comes home from the Sadeh, he says, Haliteini na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. Rav Yochanan's wife points out that it doesn't say Adom with a Vav. It's written Chasir Vav. Because what Esav is asking is, Haliteini na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. I want only a piece of Adam. I want that piece of Adam that is the physical, material piece of Adam. I want the Afar. I want the Adama. And that seemed to be the deal they were about to make. Esav would get the physical world, which, as we said a few times, was what he wanted, was his propensity, was his natural inclination. And Avraham would get that world of total spirituality, the other part of Adam, the Adame. But Rivka, that sagacious woman, says no. No. Avraham's philosophy, the philosophy of Kol, must continue. And it must continue with you, Yaakov, because you understand spirituality. It can't continue with an Esav because he had no knowledge, no respect, and no value for that which was spiritual. So what does she do? She takes those big de chamudot, those vestments that signified royalty, master of that which was physical and material, and she dresses her son Yaakov with those big de chamudot. And into Yitzchak's office, she places him. And Yitzchak, of course, not realizing that it was Yaakov, gives him the bracha that he intended to give to Esav. But interestingly, when Yitzchak does give this bracha to Esav, to Yaakov, and Esav comes marching in and saying, "What's going on here?" And Yitzchak recognizes and realizes that he had made a mistake. And the Torah tells us, "Vayechrad Yitzchak charada gedola ad ma'od." Vayomer mi'efel hu hatzad sayid vayaveh nivachol mikol. He says, "I've already eaten, I've already tasted, I've already partaken mikol, from kol. I understand now the purpose of why this was done." And that's why he says, "Vavarcheihu dam baruch yiyeh." That bracha has to stand, because that's how it has to be. Indeed, Yaakov has to be the one that is the master of both the physical and the spiritual, the one that can fuse the spiritual and physical world. Indeed, that has to continue. Ochal Mikol, I've tasted Mikol, I've seen what Mikol is. And that has to stand. That has to stick as it is. Yaakov, completely ignorant of the physical world. Completely ignorant of how to go about living in a physical world. Other than, I guess, making lentil soup. So what does he do? First, he attains from his father the bracha that he was supposed to get. The bracha of the Bechora. The bracha, as Rashi says, that was made for those that were going to worship God. The Bechor was supposed to be the one that was dedicated to Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash. And he walks away with both brachos, but first sequesters himself in the yeshiva of Shem Be'er for 14 years. Because he wants to arm himself and fortify himself with concentrated spirituality before embarking on the most physical, material lessons of his life. In Golos, where the mendacious father of Olavan, challenged with women, challenged with business, challenged in every material, physical way possible. And before he embarks on this, the Torah tells us that he falls asleep and he has a dream. And what happens in his dream? Malachim olim v'yordim. The angels are ascending and descending the ladder. And he wakes up, and what does he say in Source 15? Vayomer, achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. There is God in this world. There is a connection between heaven and earth. It's not divided. The entrance to heaven is in living. Life is the gateway to heaven. And what happens when he returns from Aram Narayan, from Haran, when he returns from his father-in-law's house? Torah tells us that he meets Esav, his nemesis. And Esav says, Yesh li rav, I have much, I have so much. But what does Yaakov respond? Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lech yesh li kol, but I have kol. I have that synthesis. I have that integration. I have that knowledge that the world is one, that it all connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Torah tells us, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem, that Yaakov comes to Ir Shechem, the very first city that his grandfather Abraham had come to in Eretz Yisrael. Shalem. And what does Rashi tell us? Shalem Begufo, Shalem Bimamono, and Shalem Bitorato. He was integrated, he was complete in the physical realm, complete in the material and the monetary realm, and complete in the spiritual realm. When we bench, in our benching, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaRachman, V'Yivarech, we ask for blessings, Kimo Shen Yitbarachu Avoteinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, V'Akol, Mikol Kol. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow us to completely and fully understand and live the life of Avraham, for whom it is said, V'Hashem Be'rachat Avraham Bakol, for Yitzchak, who it is said, V'Ochal Mikol, and the life of Yaakov, who says, Yesh Li Kol. I have everything. Because after eating and sating ourselves and being satiated, we ask Hashem to please make sure that we understand that everything, all of our realization of this physical world, that we connected that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In summation, I often wonder if perhaps the near collapse of our economic system in America today, and perhaps worldwide, is perhaps due to our misappropriation of our material goods, of our misutilization of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, of perhaps not appreciating it to its fullest, and of perhaps not infusing it with the Kedusha and not connecting it to its source, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you so much.